Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, reacting to a brutal loss for the Titans to begin the season. They fall 21-20 at the hands of the New York Giants. They lose, go 0-1 to begin the season. Quite frankly, against a team they had no business losing to. Taking your reaction all show long, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll have Corey Curtis from News 2 coming up at 8 o'clock to give us his thoughts on the Titans game yesterday as well. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Spen from Dover. Spen, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, good morning, guys. So, I'll tell you, this game yesterday came down to two players in my book. You know, Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry. And Derrick Henry was not the Derrick Henry we're used to seeing. I know you guys said, you know, play calling and whatnot, but he just wasn't the same. The Giants were stuffing him. He wasn't able to get a run. And Saquon, in that second half, put the team on his back. You know, you got arguably two of the best running backs in the league playing yesterday. And to me, those were the difference makers. I'll hang up and let you guys talk.
Hey, thanks for the call. I mean, look, there's no question, and this got pointed out to us earlier. I mean, the conversation we had on Friday with Max Kellerman and the guys on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, Kellerman was right.
Are we sure that wasn't Max Kellerman kind of disguising his voice with the, hey, y'all?
Could have been.
I like the accent in there. Yeah, Max Kellerman totally he dunked on me, man. But I'd respect it more if Kellerman would have said, and by the way, Barkley will have twice as many rush yards as Derrick Henry with fewer carries.
Yeah, I didn't see that one coming.
That would have been a called shot. Now, Barkley was fantastic, and I hope Barkley can stay healthy. You know, it's I look, anybody who watched him at Penn State or, you know, his rookie year, like, he is a special talent. And man, if he can stay healthy, well, I think that team may be okay, at least, although I still question the QB.
He went 17-21 yesterday, which looks great. First off, the interception he threw to Amani Hooker in the end zone was just brutal. It was just a brutal interception from Daniel Jones.
It should have been a losing play.
And it wasn't. But, he did somewhat orchestrate, you know, the drives. He had a big play on, like, the boot rollout on the third one to get the first down there. You know, two touchdown passes in the game. He did just enough for the Giants to win the game.
Yeah. But to the caller's point, I mean, look, Barkley was a star, one of the stars of week one in the NFL. And look, yeah, if Henry isn't going to be a star, the Titans offense is going to be very limited. It's just how it is.
So what happened, do you think, defensively in the second half? We talked about this earlier. In the first half, the Titans looked dominant defensively. The Giants couldn't get anything going. I mean, Jeffrey Simmons had a couple of sacks. Rashad Weaver had a couple of sacks. Bud Dupree had a sack. They were generating pressure, making some big plays in the backfield. You know, it was an impressive display of defense, I thought, in the first half for the Titans, and then it went the other way in the second half, particularly in the run game. We pointed out earlier that the Giants end up with 32 carries for 238 yards, and Saquon had 164 on 18 carries. What happened to the Titans defensively?
I feel like that 68-yarder just changed the game. And to the earlier discussion about holding calls, you know, maybe Zach Cunningham got held on that big one. I do think Denico Autry got held on the two-point conversion. Holding happens every play. It does. I'm looking at Zach Cunningham. They decided to pay him, and I get it. It's like if you don't let people run the ball, you got a physical, powerful, dominant box linebacker in there along with David Long making plays, along with what you have up front, you should be very stout against the run. And it still matters in football. It still matters in the NFL. Well, you have 238 yards in the NFL, you're like a group of five team playing a power five team. That's a brutal number.
It's 7-4 carry.
They haven't – 7-4 carry, they haven't – again, so you got the big one. So let's take the big one out because sometimes that happens. That can skew numbers, right? I'm going to try to do math in real time right here. 238 minus 68 is what? 170, right?
That is
so you
correct.
You still give up 170 yards on top of the big one. Take the big one out. 170 yards is ridiculous. They give up 86 yards a game, second in the NFL last year, and they haven't given up this much yardage since I think it was actually the Luke Stocker game, which is interesting. The Luke Stocker, the tight end running game. Luke Stocker, and then it was a, 99-yard TD run like the next play, right, in that game. That's just astounding. I never would have guessed that number. Again, Barkley's special, but even Breida found, some space in there, gave you a few good runs. You knew Daniel Jones going to do a little bit on the ground. That's just – it's like they got – I mean, you take that play, and then you take Fulton getting burned by Sterling Shepard, who's not exactly someone who strikes fear into people, but Fulton just looked really bad on that play. That's a killer play.
Absolutely. By the way, Paul Kaharsky of PaulKaharsky.com did point out last night that A.J. Moore is out for the season. So, Titans have lost A.J. Moore for the year with an ankle injury.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's a loss. He was out there. The defensive personnel stuff yesterday, by the way, was just – I mean, it's under the radar because of the result and everything, but – like, first of all, Ugo Amadi playing way more than Caleb Farley. I'm looking forward to seeing the snap counts. He played a lot more than Caleb Farley. They went McCreary on the outside. By the way, McCreary was good, is good,
yep,
and barely ever threw his way. But Ugo Amadi out there, Dylan Cole out there in the goal line, and Dylan Cole absolutely could have made the play to win this game, but he got sucked in. There was a lot of switching and different groupings and things like that. Along with, we mentioned earlier, like Cody Hollister out there in the goal line offense in the one series.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, and it's one of those things, too. The number is striking in terms of the rushing yards the Giants were able to put up. It's even more striking when you look at this Titans front and what a strength defending the run was for the Titans last year. What did they finish last year? Number two?
Number two
in
the
rush
NFL.
Defense in the NFL. And then you give up 238 on the ground. I mean, now, we were talking last week, is anybody going to rush for 100 yards against the Titans all year? And you give up 238 in the first game. Just brutal by the Titans defense.
Among my awesome bold predictions at The Athletic were that they would never allow a 100-yard rusher. Although, I guess they've allowed 200, but they didn't allow 100, right? No.
Well, Saquon had 168.
Well, yeah, I think I meant team.
Team, yeah.
Which is even worse. Also, Hooper and Woods with the top receiver, so.
Good, still early.
Good start. Good start there. And thank you, Michelle. Snap counts. Yeah, Ugo 38, Farley 15.
So what does that tell you about how they're viewing Caleb Farley right now?
It's interesting because, so like 2-minute defense, the end of the first half they put him in. So again, he's in certain things. And they moved McCreary inside. So he's in certain things, and he was out there for one series in the second half. But, one thing it tells you is certainly they like McCreary absolutely better than Farley. 57 snaps for McCreary, Fulton and McCreary, 58 Fulton, 57 McCreary. But, yes, I would not have had on my bingo card Ugo Amadi more than double the snaps of Caleb Farley in this game at all.
No.
So, what it tells me is when Molden comes back, I think Farley's just basically their fourth corner. At least that's how they view him now. So, again, there's a lot of other things going on with this team, but you got A.J. Brown out there tearing up the lines, looking fantastic like a number one star receiver. You got Dylan Radin standing over there. Not a snap. As far as I know, I don't think he got a snap. You got Caleb Farley barely – there's just a lot of choices, personnel choices recently that have, to me, diminished the team.
Yeah, and it was on display yesterday. I mean, you brought up Cunningham. He's going to have to be better. We talked about this last week. That's a whole lot of money to be paying an inside linebacker. And, I mean, I get it. You can look at the Saquon big play, and maybe you can make an argument. He was held and all that stuff. I understand, but like you're going to need more from Zach Cunningham, especially to justify the number that he's being paid right now.
There are some other plays where he was not held, where he didn't make the play, where you need him to make the play.
Yeah, no question about it. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans on the defensive side of the ball. Any way you want to take it, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe, you have a message from OrderGreen.com as we head to the break.
That I do, and folks, let me tell you, for someone like me, we all deal with stress. We all have anxiety at times. And, I mean, frankly, if you're me, you may have some physical inflammation if you try to get out in the hoops core a little bit. You go to OrderGreen.com. It is the nation's number one online shop for all things cannabis. You got high-quality THC and CBD products, edibles, gummies, vapes, flower. They've got everything. They've got an extensively knowledgeable team that can tell you about the products they offer. So you know what you're getting. You know you're getting the highest of quality. You also got nationwide same-day delivery right to your doorstep. You can get 25% off every shipment of gummies with a subscription. And if you use promo code JOE20, you get 20% off your first purchase. OrderGreen.com.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your reaction to the season-opening loss for the Titans. They fall 21-20 at the hands of the New York Giants yesterday at home to begin play this season. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Curtis from Dallas, Texas. Curtis, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
We're great, man.
Good.
My comment on the game yesterday, I just think that it's time to get a new coach. I think they just need a new coach. I mean, it's all the responsibility comes down on a coach, and he just didn't have them prepared. They should have won that game and gone away.
Hey, thanks for the call, Curtis. We appreciate it.
Yep. Curtis, I think Fire Vrabel is the underrated topic
take
of the day.
Away from yesterday. Mm-hmm. I knew we'd probably get some of that on Downing for today, yeah. Which we have on the text line.
There was someone in the text line that said if he won't fire Downing, then you have to fire him. And someone else was talking about Vrabel's snippy presser. I didn't even think the presser was all that snippy on the Vrabel scale.
I agree. I was stressed, and he was good.
Oh, like you were stressed like you thought it was going to be?
Oh, yeah. I thought it was going to be really bad.
Yeah, he was. I mean, to me, Vrabel in the presser was a little bit stunned, Vrabel.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, with good reason.
Yeah, yeah. We're joking about Fire Vrabel. It's silly. Honestly, I don't even agree about not having prepared or like the preseason. Like, they played well
great
in the first half. They actually came out and played well. They should have been way ahead, and this should have been a blowout. And it probably wasn't far from being a blowout because that's what happens. You get to a certain point. And you take a team's will away. And so that's where it's like, if you want to, it doesn't matter. It's the whole team loss. But it's like the offense struggled and was brutal in the second half and all that stuff. But I still look at the defense and I'm like, man, you had this game in your hand and you just gave up these huge plays.
Yeah.
In the second half. And that's just the bigger surprise than the offense struggling. Even against a team that has been bad, even against a team that has been bad, that isn't very talented on defense, and was missing its top two pass rushers.
Well, so what we're going to get, and it's probably not going to happen today because I think people are still mad, as they should be, that the Titans lost this game against the Giants. But, Joe, what I think is going to happen as the week goes on is, okay, well, this is just the most Titans thing ever. They lose to the Giants, and now they've got a game coming up on Monday against Buffalo where – nobody in the world is going to pick them to win. I looked at the spread this morning. Buffalo's a 9.5-point favorite on the FanDuel Sportsbook. That is a giant spread heading into next week. Obviously, the Bills, we've talked about. Everybody loves the Bills. They look great in week one. Hardly anyone around the country, probably no one, is going to pick the Titans to win this game on the road. And as we go on, people are going to be like, here comes a Vrabel special. And I understand that happened a lot last year, and I understand that we're right back in the same situation that we were last year with the Texans game, the Jets game. Now they've lost to the Giants as well. Team I saw yesterday, I got a tough time saying they're going to hang in there with Buffalo coming up on Monday. I'm sorry. I know that Vrabel's pulled this off a lot, but they got a whole lot of work to do this week.
Yeah, it's a bad – well, I don't know if it's a bad matchup. I mean, that's the thing about the Bills is, you know, they've let Henry get loose. You know, that's really a lot of what's happened, although – a couple years ago, they also let A.J. Brown get loose, and that's not going to be a problem now for the Bills. But, yeah, it doesn't look good. It's a big week for the Titans. I have no doubt they'll respond in the building like they do. Obviously, this ability to come back and win these big games, or you know, you look bad one week and you look way better next week, has to do with their ability to respond and all that. It's a big week for Todd Downing, I feel like. But there's so many things that have to get a lot better for them to have a chance to win that game on the road. Monday Night Football.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Ben, who wants to weigh in. Ben, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
You know, I had to call you guys back because, listen, these Tennessee fans drive me crazy. I'm not a Titans fan, obviously. But, you know, if you're going to come on here and you're going to start criticizing, talking about fire Vrabel, fire down, look, it's not that. You can't fire the leaders of the team, the coaches of the team, because they had a bad game. It comes down to execution, you know, and I'm really just chastising callers and Titans fans. You know, when you call into the radio, you sound so stupid, you know, when you're talking about fire the coaches. Because the coaches are calling the plays, yes. And they're responsible for building the roster, yes. But at the end of the day, these are big boys. These are millionaires that are playing a game, and they're supposed to be professional football players. And the fact is, it's exactly what you guys said. In the first half, they looked fantastic. They were doing their thing. The defense was being what it was supposed to be, and they were stuffing people. They were stopping people. They were getting stops up and down the field. They were doing the thing. They had a one-possession lead. But you can't forget that the Giants are a professional football team, too, and they've got a guy, like I said, named Saquon Barkley back there that nobody stopped. Now, granted, second-half adjustments are a thing, and that's what they did. They came out, made some second-half adjustments, Titans fans, and it's not the coaches that need to be fired. It's the players on the defensive line that needed to execute those plays and stop these things from happening and not let the game get out of hand. They did their best impression of the Falcons yesterday, and that's what lost them the game. Don't fire the coaches, Titans fans. Grow up.
Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. I mean, look, the fire Vrabel stuff's ridiculous. I mean, I'm not going to spend too much time on it because it's just ridiculous.
Right. Like, you actually just perpetuated the stupidity with that call. So, but I do love the accent.
Yes. I mean, like, I would hope and expect most Titans fans today are not going to call in with fire Vrabel. Now, look, I will say, and this continues to be something. We talked about this last year. The Texans game, the Jets game, and now you can add the Giants game to the list this year. They got to stop losing games, the team they have no business losing to. And this continues to be a problem for this team.
Right, because being able to count on, but you know, they'll win the games they shouldn't win. You know, that's a hard thing to count on. They got another one coming up, though.
Yes, they do.
If they do this one, then I'll just never stop. I'll never not believe that they're just going to keep doing it.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Dave from Hendersonville. Dave, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thanks, guys. You know, I think it's so many, like you talked about, it's so many little pieces that that maybe were the reason for the loss. But I thought of, too, maybe the law firm of Farley and Woods. You know, the ACLs, just coming back, maybe we expect too much. Remember Lawan last year? We had challenges at the very first of the season with that. Maybe that's another two pieces that just aren't ready to play the game yet.
Yeah, maybe. Thanks for the call, Dave. I mean, that is a good point. And it's, you know, we've thought about it and viewed it, I think, a little bit differently because, you know, Dupree, bigger guy. Lawan, obviously a big guy on the offensive line. And you look at, you know, some guys at skill positions like Farley and Woods and think, okay, well, maybe they can get back there and be quicker. But, you know, Farley barely on the field yesterday, and Robert Woods, not much of a factor when he was on the field. Now, I'll also say, like, Robert Woods has been fine basically for the last 2 months in camp. So I don't know how much I view the ACL right now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, it's a fair thing to bring up for sure.
For sure.
But, yeah, with Woods, you do forget about it. It's just a lot different with him than, like, a year ago, Dupree and Lawan. It was kind of like, are they going to be ready? Are they going to be ready? They're doing some stuff. They've played. Then they both at different times were like, yeah, maybe I came back too fast. Woods hasn't even had a sleeve on the knee, I mean, throughout camp, and he's done everything. And that's another thing is last year, how much did we talk about, wow, Tannehill didn't have much time with, you know, Julio and all these guys are hurting Reynolds and whatever, and you can kind of see it. Well, these guys have been together the whole camp. Great chemistry that I've seen develop between Tannehill and Hooper, Tannehill and Woods. Westbrook and Kine. Well, also, you know, Phillips, too, by the way. And then yesterday, it's like, well, that's great. Great chemistry, but can people get open?
No, it's a great thing. And look, I do separate, obviously, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but like Vrabel and Downing in the discussion today, I do separate. I think this is a huge year for Todd Downing. Like Tim Kelly to me is not just like some random hiring that the Titans have made here. So this is I said it heading into the year. I believe it now. I believe it even more after the game yesterday. This is a gigantic year for Todd Downing, and he needs to get better. Like they need to get better offensively with their plan moving forward. And maybe it is true, Joe. Maybe, you know, unless it's going to be Derrick Henry running through people, maybe they just don't have the horses. I don't know. That very well could be the case. But there is, I think, significant pressure on Todd Downing moving forward.
Look, he had 1 year, talking about this with someone yesterday after the game. It was actually Robert May's podcast at The Athletic, you know, which I didn't listen to, but someone made a strong case like the biggest reason to doubt the Titans was Downing. And look, he had a bad year with the Raiders. We've talked about it. How much blame does he get for that? There were a lot of things that went wrong, but it wasn't good. And then last year, you go from Arthur Smith to him, and there was an absolute negative step. Was the negative step because of the OC change? How much of it was, I don't know. All I know is that Ryan Tannehill, a lot of things didn't look as good last year with him as the OC as compared with Arthur Smith as the OC. I agree. It's a huge year for him. It's a huge week for him to respond. And, you know, at some point, you have to probably look more that way if they don't figure some of this stuff out.
Ben from Cumberland City on the text line says, I'm just glad the Titans lost because after Robbie and I went back and forth about the Colts 8 loss take, I tell you, though, already not being a fan of Frank Wright, I'm concerned in the third quarter of the Colts game. I thought Robbie would be coming after me. That's the other thing, and I was going to get to this later in the show, but I'll just bring it up now. The Colts looked terrible yesterday, and I watched a lot of that game. They looked awful yesterday, and they end up walking out of Houston with a tie against the Texans. You had an opportunity to get in the win column yesterday, and already, 1 week into the season, take a very small lead, but a lead on the Colts, and you let it walk right out the door. And now there's no team in the AFC South that has win, and two of them played each other.
Which is just absolutely peak AFC South.
It is no question about that. We're going to take a quick Titans breather. We will get into a gigantic win for Tennessee against Pittsburgh coming up next over the weekend. Back in the Titans coming up with Corey Curtis at 8 o'clock. Get his thoughts on the game yesterday as well. All that ahead, this is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
They believe they're that good. And they went on the road against number 17. Last play, incomplete. Diving attempt by Mumfield. It wouldn't have mattered even if he caught it. He was short of the end zone. Tennessee wins the Johnny Majors Classic in overtime.
It's a big win for our football team. And just the steps that we took and the ability to compete as hard and as long as we possibly can. There's so much that we got to do better, coaches and players alike, in particular on offense and special teams. I thought our defense absolutely battled, second, third, and fourth quarters and got put in a bunch of sudden change situations, handled that really well for the most part, and just were relentless all night long. Awesome to come out on top in this one against a really good football team. Players and staff need to enjoy this one tonight on the way back, and then we got to grow and learn from it here. When we get back in the building.
There you go. A big win for Josh Heupel and the Tennessee Vols on Saturday. They take down Pittsburgh 34-27 on the road. Joe, their first, I think, true road win against a top 25 team since 2003. I saw that stat get put out there the other day, which is borderline unbelievable when you think about it. But, I knew that I said last week, if they get this win, there wasn't a whole lot of times over the last 15 years this has happened on the road against a top 25 team. And by a whole lot, I mean zero. It hasn't happened at all. So it was not always pretty. It was not always comfortable for Tennessee on Saturday. But they get it done, 34-27 in the end. You were there in person for the game. What stood out to you about that game for the Vols?
Another stat is Josh Heupel is the first coach in UT history because they have won top 20 road teams, including SEC. Kentucky last year, by the way.
That is correct.
Michelle, retort? So he's the first coach ever since the AP poll debuted in 1936 to do that. This was a huge win. Boy, there was a lot of issues, yeah. A lot of flaws. But you play that way and you win. And so with them, it's kind of interesting. You can almost contrast it with the Titans. You know, it's like such a different discussion just because you happen to make a couple more plays and the other side you miss a kick and it's, you know, doom and gloom. But what I like about the Tennessee win is that the part of their team that I think we know is good and is going to get better was the problem. And the part of the team that I'm still not sure is going to be real good, but I feel better about, really won that game for them.
They did.
They're finding some new players. I like Aaron Beasley a lot. That guy was all over the field. He's their best linebacker. I'll say it right now. And Kamal Haddon is a pretty good cornerback.
He's their best corner.
So then you look at a Roman Harrison comes in here and does some stuff, and a Dominic Bailey, like, you know, and Amari Thomas. I feel like is starting to grow into the, like, some of those questions after the first game. It's like, gosh, no pass rush. You know, it's like, well, maybe it was more. Ball State just got the ball fast, because I thought Byron Young and Tyler Barron, especially Byron Young, boy, they were a problem for a very good offensive line. There are better teams ahead, okay, but Pittsburgh has legit dudes up front defensively and legit dudes up front offensively. And so for Tennessee to perform the way it did, again, with all kinds of issues, dropping a TD pass from Tillman, muffing the punt, Trey Flowers – just offensively, they had so many chances to, I thought, just extend that game and blow it open, and they just couldn't do it. And I know you, I mean, I saw some of your tweets. You and Vols fans are like, just waiting for the other shoe to drop, right? This is a classic snatch defeat from the jaws of victory game, and they didn't do it. And I think that's pretty important.
I think it is too. And, you know, the offense, there were so many struggles that went along with it. In the second half, they got virtually nothing done offensively. You know, Hooker, I thought, wasn't great. He made some big plays. He also missed a lot of big throws in the game. But then, you know, Cedric Tillman, I mean, the guy is unbelievable. 9 catches, 162 yards, 1 touchdown. You know, he had a couple not great plays to begin the game. He dropped a touchdown later in the game. So he could have ended up with 14 catches for 200-something yards and 2 touchdowns, but that's a pretty good box score, pretty good game from him. Jalen Hyatt, they got exactly what I think they needed to get out of him. 11 catches for Hyatt, 73 yards. And Brew McCoy, the volume doesn't look like a lot. 4 catches, 58 yards. Huge touchdown catch. Not a great challenge by Pat Narduzzi on that play. And also, you know, a big play on a third down where it looks like he stops short and he just plows through the guy. Gets a big first down on that play. Those three guys, I thought, stepped up in a pretty big way, even though the offense was not great in the second half.
Yeah, those three guys are those. That's it, right? I mean, you got three receivers, and everybody else is like, stay ready, stay warm if someone gets hurt. But yeah, it's a pretty good trio, you know. And that's the thing. It's like the defense, first of all, changed the game with the pick, which is Beasley pressure, Haddon tip, Flowers pick in the end zone. They were in trouble at that point. It's 10-0. Pittsburgh's trying to make it 17-0. That changed the game. Defense made a bunch of winning plays, including Flowers with the sack, but it still comes down to Hooker steps up in the pocket, 2nd and 13. There's Tillman. Throw it his way. Probably going to go well for you. Tillman is
he's a beast.
He was not perfect, but he is a problem for people. It's also, look, Pittsburgh did what it does. Pittsburgh dares you to beat them downfield. I had it for six open deep shots, and they hit on 2.
Yep.
Still better than last year, but you get those opportunities moving forward in some of these bigger games, you do have to sharpen things up and hit on more.
Well, and the story of the game, when it boils down to it, was Tennessee putting pressure on the quarterback. They hit Slovis left and right. You know, obviously, they knocked him out of the game. Patty comes in, and he was hurt basically the whole second half. He battled through it. Good on him. But, I mean, the Pittsburgh offense was very limited in what they could do in the passing game. So, you know, I saw a lot of Tennessee fans talking about, well, I mean, probably a good thing they knocked Slovis out, because they probably would have won Pittsburgh if he stayed in the game. Maybe that's true.
Maybe.
I don't know, but I don't really care. Like, if you're a Tennessee fan, it's very similar to the discussion about Vanderbilt a couple weeks ago when they destroyed Hawaii. I get it. Hawaii is terrible, and they are. My goodness, are they terrible. But Vanderbilt hadn't done that to an opponent in a long time. Enjoy it. Like, Tennessee fans should enjoy this win on the road. It was not pretty, and it was offensively, they got a lot of things to get better on. But a top 20 road win, Doesn't happen very often. Tennessee better enjoy it.
Well, and I know, and it seemed like the fans in Pittsburgh did too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that side, I was standing around the end zone, and they had a great turnout. But there's no doubt the team knew how big of a deal this was. And it's just, and again, it's like that. What we talked about last week. You're picking a path, and I guess in terms of the largeness of Tennessee, Florida. You know, it's tough that Florida lost to Kentucky. But it also kind of shows you Florida, you know, maybe a little overreaction to Florida week one.
Classic example of the week one champ.
Although now we're going to have the overreaction to Florida week two. Like, oh, Richardson State. Like, yeah. He threw a couple awful picks in that game that were killers.
Or give credit to Kentucky. That's okay, too.
And they get a lot of credit. They get a lot of credit.
Their defense looked good.
You know, they run the ball. That's a program with a DNA, you know, that it's going to play physical. I'm looking forward to Kentucky-Tennessee now. But no, that's a pick your path game, and now that special season is in play. And frankly, they should beat Florida. They should continue the possibility for a really special season.
By the way, the AP poll is out. Tennessee is number 15, so in the top 15 in the country. And I think Ubbin pointed this out over the weekend. I was interested to see where Florida would end up. They are still in the top 20, so. All of a sudden, the SEC East, Georgia's at 1, Kentucky's at 9, Tennessee's at 15, and Florida's at 18. So it's very early in the season. But the SEC East, maybe on the rebound a little bit, maybe.
The SEC West just saw freaking Texas A&M lose to App State.
Yeah, they did.
Jimbo.
Oh, man.
Buddy, Jimbo. You also had Alabama barely beating Texas.
They should have lost that game.
Absolutely should have lost that game. Is the SEC East the better side?
SEC beast. I don't know.
I mean, LSU lost to Florida State. What else? What else is going on over there? Yeah, I
Ole Miss
don't know,
undefeated.
Man. Yeah, that's true. Ole Miss looks good against Cheeks opponents.
It's a big win for Tennessee, a big win for Josh Heupel and company, and now you've got Akron coming in this week. You don't want to put the cart before the horse, especially after what we saw this past weekend in college football, but very likely that Tennessee is 3-0 heading into the Florida game, which is going to create quite the environment at Neyland Stadium for that game.
Yeah, I can tell you with pretty good confidence, Michigan State's really not that good. They beat Akron 52-0. That's going to be a complete – the Zips are one of the worst teams in the MAC. So don't get people hurt this week. And I assume today we'll probably find out that – I assume that it's the 3:30 or the 2:30 here, right?
I would think
Tennessee,
so.
Florida?
Tennessee, Florida.
Yeah.
Which hasn't always been the case the past few years.
Yeah,
so.
They've had some night, let's, you know, get that out of here. 2:30, just as it should be. That CBS theme song, while it still lasts.
That's right. Coming up next, it is time for the Rex Rant, Joe Rex Road's Rant of the Day. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
With love, NSC.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN, 102.5 The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
Can you take me higher?
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rex Road's Rant of the Day. You check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Joe Rexroad, I turn things over to you.
By the way, thank you for playing fake Pearl Jam today. Get to see real Pearl Jam Friday at Bridgestone. Pretty excited about that.
Fake Pearl Jam.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bunch. Yeah, like Creed and all these bands. Oh, let me not sound like Eddie Vedder as much as I can. Anyway.
Beautiful. You going to do the whole Rexrant in that voice? That'd be great.
One of these days. So I'm gonna keep it with it. We're gonna get back into the Titans, and there's all kinds of, you know, Titans related ranting that could go on, but I've got to touch on this Scott Frost situation. Scott Frost is fired at Nebraska. 16-31, 4+ seasons. It's just astoundingly bad. And it's astounding. You think about Scott Frost leaving UCF, what he did at UCF, what it looked like he would clearly do at Nebraska. What Josh Heupel came into UCF and kind of didn't do and kind of left you really wondering what he'd be at Tennessee. And by the way, it's still very early for Heupel, but it's very interesting, isn't it? You know, those two guys end up going to sort of long-suffering programs and how different things look for both of them right now. But I'm gonna quote Trev Alberts here talking about firing Scott Frost Sunday morning, okay? A day after a 45-42 loss to Georgia Southern, 642 yards allowed in that game for the Huskers. Quote, "We need a different voice. We need to provide hope for these young men," end quote. Had they waited 19 days, they saved themselves $7.5 million on his buyout.
Yeah.
Dude, there is no hope. You stink. Are you kidding me? Your season is trash. Just wait 3 weeks. Like, I understand that it's like funny money in college sports. But honestly, and yeah, Nebraska and the Big Ten, so great. They're just going to be printing their own money. But like, well, it just bothers me. Like, $7.5 million, wait a few weeks. Everybody knows he's toast. Everybody knew he was toast coming into this season. Why did you keep him? I assume financially related. And I know you renegotiated his deal, too. But, my God, just go a few weeks. The season's over.
The Oklahoma game's coming up, man. Nebraska-Oklahoma, just a great rivalry over the years. It's gone really well for Nebraska lately.
Well, the funny thing is, you know, last year, and Scott Frost.
I know.
Tradition, they actually were right in that to win at Oklahoma last year, but they found a way to lose. It's incredible. Like, you talk about regression, you know, all the time. Close, you know, teams that loses a bunch of close games, team that wins a bunch of close games. Usually, like, that's a lot of people talking about the Titans this year. Like, man, they've won a lot of these close games. Does it start going the other way? Well, so far, 1-for-1 on that front. But with the Cornhuskers and Scott Frost, no, they just absolutely will find a way to lose every time. So he was toast. I mean, yeah, the students are chanting fire Frost. There's no hope. There's no hope right now.
No.
This season is toast. I don't know. $7.5 million. I know it's a lot of money to, like, most people would look at that and maybe they're like, yeah, whatever, seven. But it just bothers me. Like, be more fiscally responsible than that.
All you had to do was wait 3 weeks. And let's look at Nebraska's schedule over the next 3 weeks, okay? So you've just come off a loss at home to Georgia Southern, which, by the way, you lose that by one score. Clay Helton, I'll say. But you've got Oklahoma coming up this Saturday, and then you've got an off week, and then you've got Indiana on October 1st. All you had to do is wait 3 weeks. It's two games. Wait 3 weeks?
And I don't know. It's Trev Alberts like, ooh, but he might beat Indiana. And then what if – who cares? It's over. Everybody knows it's over. Why do you have to do it yesterday? Like, all of a sudden, everybody's like, oh, a fresh start, everybody. No, it's a miserable slog of a season the rest of the way for your players. And by the way, you want to talk about giving them hope? I mean, I don't know exactly what's going on in Nebraska, but I've seen in-season coach firings. I've been a part of them. And even when things are going really, really bad, when players are recruited to a school by a coach, usually there's some personal relationship with the parents and the players. And firing the coach is not a thing that gives them hope and excitement and happiness. No. It's actually a thing that makes things worse for them.
This is not like Urban Meyer in Jacksonville.
Right.
It's very different.
Yeah, and by all accounts, and really, so our Mitch Sherman at The Athletic quoted someone. Here's a quote. From someone, a source in the program about Frost. Quote, "He's an undisciplined coach. The players lack discipline. He had not instilled a healthy fear. There's no fear of losing your job. You made a mistake." End quote. So, which isn't good, but also, like it's not like this is, like you said, like some Urban Meyer situation. They probably liked him a lot. Probably liked him too much. You're not helping them by doing this. You're just reacting to the mob. And again, everybody knows what's going to happen. How do you just decide to cost yourself $7.5 million? It just bothers me. I'm sorry.
It's pretty amazing. And, you know, I guess it's probably at the top of the list, but it's a pretty wild weekend in college football. I mean, you had Notre Dame losing to Marshall. You had Texas A&M losing to App State, which, by the way, like, at some point, if you're a Power 5 athletic director, do you look around and say, you know, maybe just leave App State alone?
Yes, you do, which is too bad because I want them to keep playing games.
They almost got North Carolina the week before.
Oh, no doubt. Very good. And Boone, North Carolina was going off. Yeah, so you have Frost fired. You have Marcus Freeman. So doesn't want a game, by the way, Notre Dame. Might want to do that. And
can we please – I said this on Saturday. Can we please – this could be my own mini Rex rant. Stop putting Notre Dame in the top 10 to begin the season. Can we please stop? Like, at what point do we have to learn the lesson about Notre Dame? Every year this happens. Now, it doesn't happen exactly like this where they're 0-2 to begin the season. But can we please stop putting Notre Dame in the top 10?
The funny thing is, through three quarters of their opener, I was like, oh, they actually are that good. Yeah,
By the way, Ohio State didn't look great either.
Yeah. Butch stayed within 33 points of them.
Yeah, he did.
But then you have Jimbo. I tell you what, that is about to get ugly.
Oh, man.
Jimbo. Talking all that talk. I mean, how could you? That to me is just the, you know, the Frost, dead man walking with that program. I mean, it's early for Freeman. Actually, Herb Street kind of called that, which is very impressive. He knows his stuff. But Jimbo, it's going to be a – wait till they go to Bama. I know Bama looked very mortal Saturday, but they're going to figure it out, I think.
They got some problems.
They do. I mean, but we've seen that before, too, from Alabama teams, right? I think their defense is like a championship defense. They don't have – you can't expect to keep losing all these guys in the NFL and always every year just have the same playmakers. Bryce Young is pretty good.
He's pretty good.
But Jimbo, dude, what's it like down there right now?
Well, it's a great academic institution, ain't it?
This is true. He does always have that to lean back on.
It's that contract. I mean, number one, when they gave him the extension without him having won anything yet was amazing to me. But it'll be an interesting time down there at Texas A&M. You'd be losing to App State after you bring in this recruiting class.
I mean, if you look at his career as a head coach, I mean, he benefited greatly from a great college player who had a big win yesterday too, by the way. Wasn't very good. But Jameis Winston was a great college football quarterback. And if you look at like him with Jameis Winston, him without Jameis Winston,
it's pretty stark.
A little bit of an emperor having no clothes situation with Jimbo.
David on the text line, going back to the Nebraska discussion. How does it look if you wait until the day after the $7.5 million goes in effect to fire him? I think it looks pretty smart.
Yeah, it saved yourself $7.5 million.
I mean, I think it looks very smart.
Like, we all know he's going to be fired. So yeah. Just you don't like doing this now is not some. Oh, the players, they're just mad. I don't know, man.
Hey, but good for Scott Frost, man.
This is yeah, exactly. You know, gets the whole $15 million in the buyout. But this is also, it is just a reminder of how funny this money is.
How much of it was the fact that he played there benefiting him in this situation? And they're trying to, I guess, do him a solid or that factor in at all?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, he's still an all-time legend.
I think it may have something to do with it.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why it bothers me so much, but it's just like, dude, it's like 19
just
days.
Wasting $7.5 million.
And if you want, you don't have to fire him that. I'm not saying fire him the day the buyout goes down, but just fire him at the end of the year. Yeah. The buyout goes down. You know, it's whatever. Let's go back and screaming about the Titans.
Oh, we will. We'll do that starting next. Corey Curtis from News 2 will join us coming up. We'll get his thoughts on a brutal opening day loss for the Titans yesterday. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.